We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you, welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We certainly appreciate you taking a listen to us. Reminder, tonight coming up, we're going to be on the road again out at Bullwinkle's in Brookfield. We hope to see you out there tonight. The Bill Michaels Huddle on the Road begins at 6 o'clock tonight. Yours truly, Grodzki, our buddy Scott Grodzki. He's going to be there from CBS 58 again tonight. We're going to chat with him. We're going to have the Bud Girls there giving away all kinds of prizes and getting you registered for the big screen TV we're giving away at the end of the season. So hope to see you out in Brookfield as a face in the crowd tonight. 6 to 8, going to be there with our friends from Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us now as we continue to take a look around the state when it comes to college basketball, Steve Wojciechowski. Wojo's joining us, head coach of Marquette Golden Eagles. Wojo, how you been, buddy?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, first of all, kudos picking up another Hauser. I mean, you just keep scooping that net up, so nice job there.
Thanks. Yeah, no, obviously yesterday was a huge day for our program with Joey officially signing his national letter of intent. You know, I think Joey's one of the top high school players in America. He's a really versatile player, great teammate, has a winning pedigree, and we can't wait to get him on campus.
So the outlook for this season, I guess, we obviously last year you had some success and you get some taste and then you kind of want to build upon that. So what is your outlook this season?
Well, you know, we're hoping to build off last year, although our team is very different. Last year we had a more experienced team. We lost 3,000-point scorers to graduation. We're replacing those guys with, I think, some young and talented freshmen who lack some experience, but you know, again, I think we can be a very efficient offensive team. I think we can be a very good shooting team. We obviously have to improve on the defensive end. That was not an area that we were particularly very good at last year. But I think this team has shown a commitment to it, certainly working hard at it. And I think this group will get better and better as the weeks go on.
Looking at top to bottom, obviously some of the bigger teams there. Villanova is a team that's going to try to lead this top-heavy league. And the thing about it is the Big East, as much as people want to look at the non-football conferences, this is a conference in which basketball reigns supreme. And it's sometimes the records aren't indicative of the style of play or of the quality of play because you guys just beat up on one another, correct?
Yeah, you know, the conference is just a bear. I mean, look, at the end of the last season, 70% of our teams made the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's a percentage that's unheard of. And as good as the league was last year, I think it'll be even better this year. 8 of the 11 all-conference players return. We have some of the most experienced and oldest teams in the league. And every night is a battle. And the traditional round robin, I think, adds to that. And it is a basketball conference. Every school in our league has made a huge commitment to their basketball programs because they drive the athletic bus at those universities. And it's just a really fun league to be a part of, but certainly not easy.
You've got a younger team, like you had mentioned. You lose some experience. So, and like many teams throughout the state, we start talking about what does that youth mean when you have to then try to, I'm not saying rebuild it, so to speak, but when you got to figure out a flow and a rotation and experience. I mean, because guys are going to gain experience throughout the season, but early on in the season when some of these games are really, you know, kind of in the balance, then what do you do? How do you get a guy to age, so to speak?
Well, I think you have to start with your experienced players and hope they set a good tone on a day-to-day basis. And even some of our experienced players have only, you know, played at our place for a year, but those guys at least have some idea what it takes to win at the college basketball level. So we need those guys to be remarkably consistent while those other guys are growing into who they're going to be. And I think our freshmen, all of them, can be really good players. It is a matter of game experience. But with our non-conference early in the year, you know, we play some outstanding teams. So, you know, our freshmen are going to be thrown into the fire a little bit, and they'll have to handle themselves and against outstanding teams and high-pressure situations.
Offensively speaking, is this all rolling through Marcus Howard's hands, or do you feel comfortable with distribution? Or, I mean, because obviously he's considered one of the nation's top shooters.
No, for sure. And Marcus obviously is a huge key to our season. I think one of the things that allowed us to have one of the best offenses in the United States last year was our balance. So we're not going to hang, the offense running through just one guy. I don't think the defenses are too good to just take one guy out of the game. I think we need to be a balanced offensive group. Obviously, Marcus is going to be a huge part of our offense because of his ability to score the basketball. Andrew Rousey will also be a huge part of what we do. He's a Big East Sixth Man of the Year last year and is a very good offensive player. And Sam Hauser is a little bit like the straw that serves the drink for us because he does a little bit of everything on the offensive end. And, you know, those three guys were very good offensive players for us last year, and we're hoping that we can expect the same things and more from them this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sam and company, those are the guys that kind of clean the glass as well. I mean, as far as rebounds per game goes and just kind of going over some of the things that I've seen out of them, those are the guys that you rely upon really to clean the glass and get that fast break going because you prefer an up-tempo style of basketball.
Yeah, we want to play up-tempo and play with pace, you know, obviously not with disregard to taking good shots or turning the ball over, but, you know, we want to play fast and try to score before the defense gets set. And if the defense is able to get set, we really rely on ball movement and player movement and being unselfish as a group. And our guys, I think, are still buying into those things.
The expectation this year as far as, the season itself, let's start with the Big East. Everybody wants to win the Big East. What are you looking for out of a young team?
Well, you know, I think we want to keep moving forward and growing as a program. I mean, last year we were projected to be in the bottom half of the Big East, and we finished, you know, in the top half of the Big East. And I think we want to continue to do that, climbing the ladder step by step in the Big East Conference, which is not easy because of, you know, we're not a conference that loses a lot of kids to the NBA draft, so teams are what they are year after year. But we want to keep moving the needle forward in terms of, you know, where we stack up against our Big East competition as we did last year.
Do you use, like, those preseason projections? Are you one of those guys that'll cut it out, put it, you know, on bulletin board fodder and say, this is where they expect us to be, let's prove them wrong?
You know, I think our guys are in tune with that stuff enough now, and information is so readily available that our guys understand where we're picked. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's what you do on the court that counts. And, you know, we try to focus on that. What can we do on a day-to-day basis to improve ourselves collectively and to improve ourselves individually? So when the ball goes up in the air, you know, we're ready to do battle with anybody that we're matched up against.
Talking with head coach of Marquette Golden Eagles, Steve Wojciechowski. Wojo joining us on the line. And I had talked to Greg out of Wisconsin and Link a little bit earlier from UW Green Bay about being a younger team. Does that mean your depth and your rotation gets longer or shorter because of experience?
Well, you know, I think early on, a lot of times, you know, you're going to go with your more experienced guys just because they understand, you know, what it takes. And the young guys have to catch up, you know, to the older guys that you have in their program. And so I think that's how you run the race with a younger team, is they got to catch up with the older guys, as opposed to slowing the older guys down and to the younger guys' pace. But I think our younger guys will improve. I think they attack practice pretty well compared to most freshmen I've been around. And I think Theo John and Jamal Cain and Greg Elliott, those three kids, will all have roles on our team this year and help our team win games.
Before I let you go, I asked Greg this yesterday, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. With everything that's going on in college basketball and the negative headlines about shoes and money and things like that, how do you, I guess my question becomes, how do you stay away from that? Because there's so much out there that can drag you down. How do you do your due diligence in keeping that out of your own backyard?
Well, I think there's constant communication between myself and everybody in the program, certainly with my staff and with my players, that, you know, we're going to do it the right way, and we're not going to take any shortcuts. You know, a clear conscience, it makes a good pillow. And, you know, you should never compromise your integrity or character in order to, you know, make a quick buck or to get a quick win. You know, we're in this to build a sustainable program, and that doesn't happen if you're doing it the right way quickly. You have to build it brick by brick, but I won't compromise on that. You know, what people say about me in terms of my integrity is far more important than what people say about me as a coach.
Well, Joe, always a pleasure. We wish you guys the best of luck. We hope to have you on throughout the rest of the season, and wish you a lot of wins, man. Looking forward to it, okay?
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Steve Wojciechowski joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. When we come back, get back into the Martellus Bennett chatter a little bit, because there's a lot of people that had stuff to say, and I want to make sure I get everybody's opinion out there. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Who I am when I was with the Cowboys I was a little, you know, and then, you know, a little so, and now it's like, you know, I've been the same person, but I have moments where I wasn't myself. I would tap out of not being myself due to things that are happening around me. So
we just got the victory.
Sound connection right here tonight.
Hey, get used to seeing that. We're gonna do a lot of that this year. Let's go.
I feel like if I had like a better mindset when I was in Dallas, I probably would have been bred off earlier. But my perspective and my mind was in a different place than what it is now. So it's hard to tell. Every single year is a year of growth, and these guys are pretty cool. I mean, they have great chemistry. So I just try to get in where I fit in.
What's up, Pack fans? We're out here in D.C. Just got the victory. Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. Go, go, go. Let's go. Champs are here. Get this thing started off right. Let's roll.
There you have it. That is Martellus Bennett. As he get this thing started off right. Go. Go. Get out of town. That's that was what the Packers told him yesterday. They said, we don't need it anymore. When he put out the tweet about the possibility of retirement, it seemed like in many ways he quit on the team. And it just seemed like, well, once Aaron Rodgers went down, he was looking for a reason to get out. And that's it. He took it. The Packers said enough's enough. They didn't want him in the locker room, kind of bringing down other guys or having him be the leader because it wasn't that long ago. We were sitting up at the Horse and Plow Huddle a couple of weeks ago, And we talked to Trevor Davis, we talked to Jeff Janis, we talked to a bunch of different guys that said Martellus Bennett was teaching them technique, he was a guy that they could go to, and then Aaron Rodgers went down and doesn't want to play anymore. Things changed. So he didn't have that, what he felt was a legitimate shot, I guess, at winning a Super Bowl, and the team looked at him as somebody that was quitting on them, so they sent him packing. They just said, okay, talk to you later, we don't need it. But I had heard that, you know, it was kind of, you know, hey, what are you doing? Putting out a tweet about retiring. And then he pulled the I'm a veteran, I can do what I want type of thing. And everything deteriorated from there.
Well, what really bothered me was he didn't even bother to talk to the media about it. He refused to talk to the media about it.
He's another one of these Cam Newton guys that when things are good and they win and things are wonderful and they go back, go, go back, go, go back, go, and he wants to milk cows and wear cheeseheads, that's fine.
Right. The world revolves around
me. Exactly.
Look at me.
Exactly. And then when things go bad, you know, when you're looking for leadership, here it is. You don't get it. You know, when things are bad is when character comes out. That's when you find out if people are, you know, willing to really say, okay, I'm going to try to gather the troops here, so to speak.
Right, or at least own it.
Right.
Own it that you stink. Own it that you're underachieving. Own it that you're letting your teammates down and your fans down. He let a lot of people down in the state.
I completely agree. He let a lot of people down. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so.
I just think Martellus Bennett's a quitter. And that will be confirmed even more if somehow, some way, there's a team out there that wants to pick him up. I don't know if there's any team out there that would want Martellus Bennett right now, but if he signs elsewhere, that shoulder thing, man, he's a quitter anyway. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I have been so disappointed. Not just by his play on the field, but, you know, this team is dealing with so much adversity right now, and they're trying to prove a lot of people wrong that they can still win without Aaron Rodgers, and this guy has the nerve to just bail on him. Mm-hmm. What does that say to the other guys in the locker room that see that? To see that Martellus Bennett just got cut. But what do these other guys think? They're trying to prove people wrong right now. And now this is just another distraction that they have to deal with going into this game against the Bears.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Aaron says, look, if he doesn't want to be there, let him go. It doesn't sound like he was a positive influence in the locker room, or maybe he was, but let him go. This one's from Mark, who writes in the Wendy's email inbox. Martellus Bennett seemed a little bit out of shape, seemed like he really wasn't into the games, only played when he seemingly wanted to, and then when things got bad, he bailed. Why would we want that guy around? Pat says, all the positive things I've heard about him in the locker room, were they all a smokescreen, or were guys actually being genuine? I can't tell, but I know one thing, his play on the field wasn't worth it. It was time to cut him loose. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Chad, listening to us in Oak Creek. Chad, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I guess, you know, with this, I'm wondering why we aren't calling the Packers front office to task more on this. I feel like this was just such a swing and a miss by them, especially when we had Jared Cook on our team last year and how well he performed. And, you know, why we went out and got this guy instead of keeping what we had, you know, right under our nose.
I don't know what happened specifically in the whole Jared Cook thing. I really don't. I don't know if the rumor was that his agent was just asking for ridiculous money and that the Packers had already had a kind of plan B in progress. So they said, screw you, we'll talk to you later, because his agent didn't want to come down. So they went ahead and signed Martellus Bennett right away, basically saying, go ahead, get out of here, you know, to Jared Cook. Hindsight being what it is, that's fine. But I can't remember very many, if any, people calling this program going, oh, my God, I can't believe they let Jared Cook go and sign Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, you know, and that may be true. I will tell you, though, at the time, I remember when it happened and everyone hailed it as such a great signing. And I thought, you know, well, we had a pretty decent guy, you know, right here with us and you know, made that amazing catch, you know, for the playoffs and everything. And you know, I'm just surprised that, you know, the Packers front office wasn't able to sniff this out. Bennett has had issues everywhere he's been. Why they thought it would be any different here is just beyond me.
I agree with. I last year for the Patriots, you didn't see any of the trouble out of Martellus Bennett because everybody thought, well, you win, you're with a quality quarterback, things are good. When guys are content, things are fine. You know, nobody planned on Aaron Rodgers going down and then finding out the true colors of Martellus Bennett. I think if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go down, I honestly believe they're sitting at 6-1 at the bye week. They probably beat Detroit. They're maybe sitting here at 7-1 going into Chicago. Martellus Bennett is amped up to go play against the team that he used to play for, that basically the media ran him out of town, and it's a drastically different scenario. The problem is Aaron Rodgers did go down, and then you saw what everything that happened after that.
Well, I remember when we were talking about Jared Cook, like we looked at it and said, yeah, it's a must sign. It's a no-brainer. You're not going to let that guy go. Well, first of all, we weren't even thinking. No one in this state was thinking that Ted Thompson would sign a guy like Martellus Bennett. We weren't even talking about Martellus Bennett as a potential guy that Ted could go out and sign. This surprised everyone. We were just talking about Jared Cook and whether or not they would sign him and at what cost. I remember we had that topic. You know, do you sign Jared Cook at all costs? Now, I remember a lot of people were saying, well, you don't want to overpay for the guy. You don't want to give Jared Cook like $8, $9, $10 million a season. That's ridiculous. But, and come on, you got to be able to get him at the right price at least. And then Ted shocked everybody with that Bennett signing. No one saw that coming.
I know.
And a lot of people, including myself, thought that, yeah, Martellus Bennett is an upgrade over Jared Cook. He is better than Jared Cook. He has more of a track record, a proven track record for the teams that he's played for than Jared Cook. Jared Cook was kind of an unknown when he signed with the Packers because we weren't really sure who the real Jared Cook was in Los Angeles when he played for the Rams all those years. So we knew what we were getting in Bennett. We knew he brought more things to the table. So, and the fact that you got him at a slightly cheaper rate than what Jared Cook wanted. Now, my understanding was the Packers never put an offer on the table to Jared Cook. It's just they heard the offer that Cook's agent wanted, and they said, no, we could get a better deal out of Bennett. And that's the route that they decided. So, again, I can't sit here and blame Ted Thompson for this. I just don't think this is the problem. Ted went out and made a bigger move than most people expected. And considering what you were getting in Martellus Bennett and considering his character, whether it be good or bad for that locker room, you're thinking, man, okay, he's going to be another outspoken guy. This might actually help him, like a Tony Plush with the Brewers. You know, I mean, that's the thing when you get these character guys, when it's all good, when they're out there performing and getting the job done, and then they're talking up a big game in the locker room, we love it. But then when they're not getting it done and they're underachieving, then the team isn't going well, and they're trying to be as boisterous as they want to be, now they look like the bad guy.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648.
Right? Am I right?
No, I completely agree. This one's from Bick Mitchum, who says, can't blame the Pack for the signing. He was great at the time. Hindsight's always 2020. This one's from Derek, who says, writes in the Wendy's email inbox, you can't blame Ted Thompson for this one. There's a lot of things people want to jump on Ted for, but this is not one of them. And if you do want to blame Ted Thompson for this, then you are seriously just a hater, and you're letting your hate blind your judgment. This is from Jennifer, who says, I can't believe they let Jared Cook walk away and didn't take more time to negotiate with him. In that sense, I can understand that, and I can maybe side with you. The problem being, you don't know what the window was for Martellus Bennett. You don't know if Martellus Bennett had two or three or four or five other teams contacting him, and that deal would have gotten done right now. And then if you do lose Jared Cook, suddenly you're out of an athletic tight end. Now, it turns out it was the wrong move. We all know that. But at the time, you don't know what the circumstances were. The Packers got in on it. They were trying to hedge their bets in case they did lose Jared Cook. Jared Cook's agent wanted a bunch of money, which he didn't get, by the way, wanted a ton of money. Thought he proved himself that catch in Dallas, that highlight reel catch, was going to basically just cash in for tens of millions of dollars. He didn't get it. That's what he wanted. And you don't know what the window was on the backside for Martellus Bennett, whether or not he was signing right away or if the Packers didn't grab him that night, that he was going to go ahead and sign with somebody else. I don't know. I'm sure that had something to do with it. I can't imagine that they just said, Jared Cook, talk to you later, and then they immediately signed Martellus Bennett out of spite. That's not the way Ted Thompson moves. Ted Thompson moves like an iceberg. Very slow, very methodically, very much to his plan. But I do give him credit for the fact that, one, he cut bait with some guys that he just didn't feel were getting it done, and they were his draft choices. Number two, he signed free agents. For those that said he didn't, he did. He signed a bunch of free agents this season. He signed Quentin. Now, guys, unfortunately, aren't panning out.
Well, they're hurt.
They're hurt. I mean, that's part of the problem. So you've got Ahmad Brooks not playing. Quentin Dial was out for a while. You have, who's the other one? Devon House was banged up with a thigh injury.
Jarry Evans has been pretty healthy.
Jarry Evans has been pretty healthy for the most part. Lance Kendricks has played okay. Lance Kendricks caught everything in training camp, and why they don't throw him the ball more, I don't know. But he's certainly not the same athletic specimen and capability that, say, even a Jared Cook was, or even Martellus Bennett was. He's not a guy that's going to change defenses when he comes onto the field, but he's still very, very solid. But, I mean, when you talk about bringing those guys in, Ahmad Brooks and Quentin Dial and Chris Odom and Devon Howe, this is so far outside of the realm of what Ted Thompson normally does. There wasn't too many people that felt terrible. I think we questioned the secondary a little bit and maybe the linebacking core, specifically after Vince Beagle went down. We said, okay, now where are you going to get it from? We all questioned that because the defense, we said, and when people say yesterday, I said they needed to be top 15. The Packers weren't shooting for that. I was saying that. I said for this team to be successful, the way it's set up, this defense needs to be in the top 15. If they can surprise us and get into the top 10, that's fantastic. But if they can get into the top 15, here you go. Because with the offense that you have, you believe you can go out and score a bunch of points. Therefore, that defense, from what we've seen in the past, would be enough to sustain an offense to get you to the postseason and possibly beyond. And it just didn't turn out that way. But they don't have a bunch of Pro Bowlers sitting defensively on that side of the ball.
No.
So you're not going to get a number one or number two or number five defense in the league. You're just not. Not unless all of a sudden guys surprise us. We needed Nick Perry to come out and have a big season. You needed Montrevious Adams to be healthy and fortify that line. You needed Kenny Clark to take a giant step forward. Mike Daniels, who was down for a while with an injury. You needed him to really be that monster guy that everybody thought he was going to. You needed Clay Matthews to be Clay Matthews. You needed Vince Beagle to fortify the middle and help out with the outside. You needed Ahmad Brooks to come in and bring you that 3-4 knowledge and that to give you those 6 to 7 sacks a year. You take 6 to 7 sacks a year with Ahmad Brooks, 6 to 7 sacks a year with Clay Matthews, 6 to 7 sacks a year with Nick Perry, and then you put one or two on Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, Quentin Dial, Dean Lowry, whatever. You put that there, then you're talking about something.
That's top 10.
Because then you're bringing Morgan Burnett in as a linebacker, or you're bringing him off the edge and bringing him 3 or 4, maybe 2 or 3. You know, you're bringing it from different areas. So there you go. You're talking maybe a team that's going to give you 20 to 25 sacks. Okay, now you're talking about productivity, but everybody had to contribute. This is not what it is. Clay Matthews is not Clay Matthews. Nick Perry just hasn't been Nick Perry. He had a broken hand, and he's been struggling. Kenny Clark's gotten better. Blake Martinez has gotten better, but they're not pass rushers. They're not those pass rushers. They're run stuffers. So, yeah, you've been pretty good against the run, but did you know, if you want to talk about the Arroyo stat of the day, that the Packers are giving up 7.8 yards per pass play. 7.8 yards! Terrible! Which means you throw two passes, it's first down every damn down the field.
I wonder what their average is on third down this year.
It's been terrible. they're giving up 7.8 yards per pass play.
That's unacceptable.
It's awful. It's awful. That's the Arroyo stat of the day, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Arroyo. They make it simple for companies just like yours to implement SAP and big data solutions. You can revolutionize your data and ignite your future with Arroyo. Check them out on the web at approyo.com. That's approyo.com. When we come back, Josh Sitton had a couple of interesting things to say. We're going to hear from him and also take some more of your phone calls. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air.
It's just the way the cookies crumble.
There you go.
A crumble cookie tastes just as well as a fully baked cookie. It still tastes like chocolate chip.
No, it kind of doesn't. It's dried out. It's kind of crappy. No, a hot, steamy chocolate chip cookie coming right out of the oven tastes completely different. And at that particular analogy is when I kind of raised an eyebrow and said, what the hell are you talking about? Must have been the shoulder injury that had been ailing him. He must have been in delirious pain at that point in time. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. He should have gone to the Marshfield Clinic. They could have fixed that shoulder for him. They helped me out. My doc, Dr. Cicchini, orthopedic, by the way. He didn't get the job done. I don't know why you don't go there to begin with. Fix my knee up, no problem. Anything else I have on me that's breaking down, falling off, whatever, I'm going to go to doc. He can get it done. And they can help you as well. And even if you need immediate help, say you have, you know, something that's cropped up on you or the creeping crud that's running around. It is what it is. Just give them a call. Give them a call. All you have to do is check out Marshfield Clinic, 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY for the Marshfield Clinic. And yes, you can start feeling better today. And there's never more than a charge of $40, depending on your insurance. It's really fantastic. It saves you the time, saves you the money. Just call them, 844-CARE-WAY. They are the official healthcare provider of yours truly, the Bill Michaels Show. Let's get back to the phone calls. Talk to Mike listening to us in Virginia. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, how you doing today, bud?
Doing well, man. What's up?
Not much. I listen every day from Virginia to your show on my lunch break, man, so I appreciate what you do. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So I'm actually kind of excited, semi-excited, to see what Lance Kendrick can do a little bit more playing time, because I think, if memory serves me correct, when Jared Cook didn't have the quarterback play he did in St. Louis or Tennessee, I believe Lance Kendrick was also the tight end with him in St. Louis when they didn't have any quarterback play. But I think the same thing was with him with Jared Cook. Had lots of upside, speed, playing ability, or playmaking ability, just didn't have enough quarterback play. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And, you know, I kind of like the consistency that Richard Rodgers had. While not the amazing tight end play, it was decent enough. He would make the occasional play, and I thought his hands certainly were better than Bennett this year. But I don't fault Ted at all for making that decision. I thought it was, you know, was good at the time. But, no, I'm not taking thoughts off the air, but I'm just excited to see what Kendricks and Richard Rodgers can do now that there's one less hand to feed, per se. And so thank you for taking my call, and I always enjoy the show. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon. That's a great question. It's obviously Lance Kendricks is going to become more of an integral part of the Green Bay Packers offensively. But boy, I tell you what, now you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, you get an injury to that unit, which we've seen this happen before. All of a sudden, you're really thin at tight end. Those two tight end sets, that run game, everything begins to suffer. Not that they've had a tremendous run game here in the last week, but everything then begins to suffer and have a trickle down effect. I look at it this way. This to me. Minus Martellus Bennett. This is my feelings on all of this. This weekend, coming up, you're going to go toe-to-toe with Mitch Trubisky. And with the Packers defensively giving up over almost 8 yards per pass play on average, okay? If there's ever a time that John Fox is going to let it fly or at least give Mitch Trubisky more capability to throw the football, it's going to be this week against a very poor defense, okay? If I'm the Packers, defensively speaking, the Bears are pretty good. And they have been able to score points off of turnovers. So you want, obviously, you don't want the turnovers. But this week, against what is considered to be really the worst team in the NFC North, I hate to say let it fly, but let him go. You really need to get the relationships with Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison. You know, you need Lance Kendricks has to be the guy that steps up. Your offensive line has to protect you. Without Brian Bulaga the rest of the year. Just at this point, let it fly. Hope that the combination of Aaron Jones and or Ty Montgomery, whoever they decide to run out there, I don't necessarily agree with, but hope that the combination, I mean, Aaron Jones missed a block last, or one or two blocks last week, and he ended up finding his way to the bench. So, I mean, because they're simply saying, look, you're not going to get our quarterback killed. This is all we have. So, to me, let it fly. Let it fly this weekend.
Defensively, though, for the Packers, I think the big key here is stopping the run. Because that's what the Bears have. That's their biggest strength. The Bears' passing game, I mean, Trubisky, he's learning here. And if you look at Trubisky's numbers in the first four games that he's played, it's nothing to write home about. It's on the same level as Brett Hundley, if not worse. And their receivers suck. I mean, their receiving corps is not good. But, I mean, look at the numbers here for Trubisky. Last four games, 14-32 against the Saints for 164 yards and a pick. Against Carolina, 4-7. For 107 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. 8-16 against the Ravens for 113 yards and a touchdown. And then this, I'm going backwards here. And then Minnesota, he was 12 of 25 for 128 yards, a touchdown and an interception. I mean, that's none of this is really anything to write home about with Trubisky in this passing game. So if you can stop the run, you're going to have a really good chance to win this game. And that's why I'm still holding out hope here, Bill, that this season is not over. I'm not in the done club just yet. I'm getting close. You can't beat the Chicago Bears. I don't see how the Packers can get this done. And you know, at that point, they would be, what, 4-5? And 4-6, we saw last year, Packers bounced back after being 4-6. But the difference is, you had Aaron Rodgers. Now you don't have Aaron Rodgers. So Packers still have a chance of winning this game. I think they can beat this Bears team. I really do. If Brett Hundley can take another step forward and this defense can actually do something. But you got to stop the run. You got to do it. You have to be able to stop Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. That's where it's going to start here if you want to win.
Agree. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Paul listening to us in Appleton. Paul, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Yeah, I know you guys said you didn't want to blame Ted for the pickup of Bennett over in the offseason, but if you look, he picked up two tight ends and kept Rodgers, so he had three.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't pick up a defensive free agent, big big money guy that could have really helped the team. I know
who was there that you wanted to see come in that was a big money guy that's really panned out?
The guy that ended up on the Jaguars.
Bouye?
Bouye.
He was a great, really good defensive lineman, playing really well. And the other thing is, I think his chief philosophy, since he's been there, has hurt the team and is really showing through now. Didn't even talk to Danny Trevathan when he was coming up, and he was interested in playing, and I think it was because of money. I think Ted does a lot of these picks because of money. Brooks, picking up Brooks, that wasn't a real free agent pickup. That was because the guy got cut. Cheap pickup, and I think that's the problem.
Who cares? It was a guy that fits your system that hasn't been injured that can give you 6 sacks a year on average. The numbers spoke for themselves when he came in. The problem is he got hurt.
No, the point is, Bill, that we had to pay Nick Perry top guy money because we didn't have something we could have done before. We could have picked up a better free agent prior to Nick Perry. And so we're paying him top money when he's not even really worth it. We got hurt this year because of the cheap philosophy that we've had in the past. That's my opinion on it.
I appreciate the phone call. Now, when you talk about the cheap philosophy, in the past, I will agree with you. But I...
Well, again...
I see...
There was nothing available at outside linebacker.
I'm trying to look at what the availability was for some of these outside linebackers, and there really wasn't.
There was nothing there.
I mean, guys that you're going to way overpay for. Nick Perry's a guy that at least the price came down somewhat, and he'd had a decent season. He'd given you something in your system, so it's better to buy the car that you know rather than the car that you don't.
You guys wanted Eric Walden? Eric Walden was out there. Anyone wanted Eric Walden? Not many Packer fans wanted Eric Walden because they saw what Eric Walden did when he finally started getting work for the Packers.
Yeah.
You can go back to Colin Kaepernick, for example. But that's the thing. There wasn't many guys available better than Nick Perry. Now, I mean, we could go back in previous seasons where there might have been better outside linebackers that Ted should have gone after. Now, Trevathan is more of an inside linebacker. I definitely wanted Ted go after Danny Trevathan.
I would not have had a problem if they brought in Bouye. Okay, that I will agree with. But when you here's my problem. He took a 5-year, $67 million deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Bouye did?
Yeah. So, again, I go back to the fact that when people point to the Patriots organization, you have three guys making double digits in the millions. So, you wanted to pay a big-time outside linebacker. You wanted to pay Bouye. You're paying Aaron Rodgers. You're paying Clay Matthews. You're paying Jordy Nelson. You're paying Randall Cobb. You're paying Mike Daniels. You're paying Bakhtiari. You're paying Bulaga.
Right.
You can't afford all of this. This is my point, people. You want to go buy everything, but you don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's 9 guys that would be making double digits in the millions. 9 guys making a majority, more than 90%. Almost 90% of your total roster. You can't do that. Which is the reason, yeah, you went out and got him on the cheap, but you picked up a guy that's familiar with the 3-4 system, a guy that can play outside linebacker, a guy that was giving you 6.5 sacks a year, a guy that had never been beat up. He'd only missed a couple games. It just didn't pan out. The Bouye thing, you know what? Instead of paying Devon House, I could say, hey, maybe you would have gone after him. Maybe he solidifies your secondary.
But Devon House came on the cheap. That's the difference.
Devon House came on the cheap. I agree with that.
But, I mean, Packer fans, would you rather have had A.J. Bouye paying him big money or Nick Perry big money? If you look at it right now, yeah, I think everyone would say A.J. Bouye. But at the time, if you sign Bouye and not Perry, now you're even in a bigger conundrum at outside linebacker. Because now it's Clay Matthews and then who? Kyler Fackrell? Vince Beagle? I did want Bouye, though. I really did. I really did.
I wanted to see Bouye come here, too.
I really did.
I have been pissed off. Danny Trevathan, I wanted them to kick the tires on. Bouye, I wanted to kick the tires on. I wanted to see the Packers' name at least in some of these discussions. We don't know if they were or they weren't, but for all indications, they weren't. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. The Michael Show is on the air. We want to get you right to our friends from UW-Whitewater and the football department and the head coach, Kevin Bullis, joining us. The final home game at Perkins Stadium this coming weekend. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic, Bill.
Absolutely awesome. So this weekend, this is that one where the seniors get to come out and say hello to everybody and get to wave to everybody. You guys come off another win, a tight-fought win against Platteville last week. You got Eau Claire on the horizon. Tell me about Eau Claire.
I tell you, Eau Claire is a young team, and really a building program. Coach Larson is building that program, and I'll tell you, they're a ball of fire. I mean, I know that they haven't won a conference game, but they've done nothing but continue to improve each week. So I know it's going to be a fun day, to be honest with you. It's going to be very competitive.
Looking at what you guys just went through with Platteville, tight fight. Look, Platteville gears up for you guys. I mean, that's really one of, between you, Oshkosh, there's a couple teams that really gun for you, but Platteville's been one of them for a long time. So talk about that ball game, because that was a tight one at Perkins Stadium.
I tell you, it was a crazy game because the first part of that game, both defenses, the first half of the game, both defenses were really holding the offenses down to 0 points. And you can tell, obviously, the offenses made some adjustment at halftime. I know we did, and we came out of the blocks in that third quarter, scored 17 points. And even then, when we were up 17 to nothing, I'll be honest with you, Platteville has too good of a passing attack for us to just hold them to nothing. And they fought back in and made it a nail-biter at the end.
Coach, looking forward to the game this weekend. And then we're talking postseason. I'm looking forward to that, but you got this one to get through first.
No doubt. And I mean, this game's very important for us. We got to make a statement. We got to make another statement and make a statement to the NCAA and the selection committees and hope. I mean, that's a pretty fickle thing. So you hope things fall in your favor as well.
Coach, always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you soon next week. Looking forward to it, okay?
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. You have a great week.
All right, buddy, you too. There you go. They have UW-Eau Claire coming to town. Should be a good one at a Perkins Stadium. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.